Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Career Show, Career Talk with Holly Bunn. I am your host, Holly Bunn, and you are listening to Career Talk, a place where we can talk about how to manage your job search and career successfully, because the job search can be tough, and I am here to help you through that process and make it just a little easier. For those of you who don't know me, I am a resume writer, a LinkedIn profile writer, and a career coach through my business, Ms. Resume Help. I work for some of the largest staffing companies in the world, designing and implementing recruiting strategies, working directly with recruiters. So I've learned a little bit, a thing or two, about the hiring process and how to help you land the job of your dreams. And I want to share that knowledge with you. At the end of the show, I'll be giving you one of my best career tips, so stay tuned for that. And so I didn't have a show last week because I took a little bit of time off to celebrate my birthday, yay, and spend a little time with friends and family. And so I want to thank everyone for the birthday love out there on social media. Appreciate it. And so I'd like to also say hello and thank you for listening to those outside of the U.S. And hello to Canada, hello to India, hello to the U.K., and specifically, especially those in Australia, because today is Sunday. So thank you for listening. So happy Sunday to you. If you missed the last show, we talked about you created a LinkedIn profile, now what? If you want to listen to that episode, go to the show archives, listen to episode 12 on blogtalkradio.com/Holly Bunn. You can also read the show notes on my blog from that episode at www.msresumehelp.wordpress.com, or you can see the show notes on my LinkedIn profile under my post. So today's show is about applying for internal jobs and how to navigate through that process. You know, answering questions like, should you take different steps or the same steps when applying for internal jobs? You know, when should you tell your manager? You know, do you need a resume? Answering those questions. I'll be answering those questions and giving you more information during today's show. My special guest and returning guest is Mr. Anderson Curry. Are you there?
Hey, Holly. Yes, I am.
Awesome. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for agreeing to join us today to talk about internal job applications. Tell the callers just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am Anderson Curry. I am actually the brand manager for a company called Source Outdoor, located here in South Florida. And currently, I'm also part of the support team that actually helps bring Ms. Resume Help, the Blog Talk Radio show with Holly Bunn, on air. So this is one of my few times that I'm actually get to hang out on air with her. Usually I'm in the background. But,
yeah,
you know, every show.
So
yeah, I know, right? So, but every show is a Oh, you're welcome. And every show is an opportunity for us to bring great information and great knowledge to you on navigating the world of career and career development. And I'm just so proud to be actually a part of this process. So
awesome. Thanks for joining us. So,
absolutely.
So we're going to jump right into the subject today. So I did some research for the show because I wanted to see what some of the opinions are out there. And I found many across the board, but all had the same kind of resolute message. Specifically, I found a nice article on Forbes Online about the 7 things that job seekers should do when applying for internal jobs. I want to share a few of those, and you know, and then I'll tell you how I advise my clients. So according to Forbes Online, the first step that job seekers should take when applying for internal jobs is to take the process seriously. This is important because if you don't, you know, someone else will, and they will have your job. And they may not even be as qualified as you. But if you, you know, you're sloppy with your application process, you don't, you know, show up on time, you don't dress the part, those type of things, you know, if you don't take that internal application as seriously as you would the external process, you know, it could cost you that opportunity. So That's number one. Number two, speak to employees who already have the job. That opportunity is there and sometimes it's not, right? So sometimes you can speak to someone if it's an existing position. If it's a position that's new or newly created, you won't have this opportunity. So if you can, speak to employees who already have that job. Now, don't tell them you're applying for the job. Just tell them you want to learn more about the position that they're in. And I'll get more into about when and who you should tell about your job application in a little bit. The third thing that Forbes says you should do is meet with your HR business partner, often called your HR business partner or your representative in HR, because they can help you navigate through the process as well. They can answer questions about the job confidentially. So HR can know your interest in the position because they are bound to confidentiality. Go off and tell anyone that you are interested in a position. What they probably will tell you is to be sure to tell your manager that you're interested in this position, which brings me to the next point that Forbes said you should do is let your manager know that you want to apply for a position. That is, let them know before you apply. Most HR policies require that your manager is informed of your interest in a new position, not informed of your new position, not informed that you have an interview pending, but informed of your interest. Now, I'll get into what this conversation should be and the components of it in a little bit, but the key here is letting your manager know about your interest in a new position long before you apply. That could make or break you during the process. And then Forbes says, get your manager's support. Your manager's support is going to be key in helping you move to a new position. Now, I know that some of you out there might have some challenges, right? Some challenges may exist with your manager. And I'll talk about how to deal with some of those and where to position that. But if you can, get your manager's support early in the process for you to move into a new position, whether it's promotion or a new position to increase your skill set, but just make sure you try to get their support. And then introduce yourself to the new hiring manager or the hiring manager that is the manager for the new position. If you can, often maybe the new hiring manager is in another state, another country, and you can't do that. But if the opportunity affords itself, you know, introduce yourself. Don't tell them you're applying for the new position, but just say, hey, you know, I'd like to meet you. My name's Holly Bunn. You know, I work in radio and I'm in the broadcast department. I'd just like to say hello. Connect with them on LinkedIn so that they know who you are and get to know you long before the application process. This is also true of external applicants. In several shows, I've advised applicants or job seekers to connect with potential folks on LinkedIn long before you apply. High school students apply, connect with college folks, and college folks connect with employers. You know, internal folks connect with the hiring managers. So if the opportunity affords itself. And then finally, Forbes suggests, and this is where a lot of people drop the ball, it's true of external jobs, and it also applies to internal jobs, and that is sending a thank you note after the interview. If someone takes the time to interview you, thank them for their time. It doesn't matter that they're an internal manager. Even more important that you send that note because you're interviewing during your working hours. And so they took the time, more than likely, you're interviewing during your working hours. So they took the time and you sent them a nice thank you note after the interview. So those are the seven things that Forbes says you should do when applying for internal jobs. And I would agree with all of those, but I definitely have more to add. Anderson, what are your thoughts about the seven things that people should do when they're applying for internal jobs, according to Forbes? Anderson, are you there? Okay. Maybe Anderson is having some phone issues, but so I would say of the seven things that folks should do when applying for internal jobs, that I advise my clients on a few things more when I'm talking about navigating through the internal job process. Now, my advice is always, 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 I want you to take the same approach that you would take for the external process. For the external process, you determine if you're a good fit for the position that you want to apply for, right? And that is no different for the internal process. So you want to look at the minimum requirements for the position and make sure that you're at least an 80% fit, right, for the position. And what does 80% mean? It's simple. If there's 10 bullets and they say, you know, you have to meet these 10 things, do you meet 8 of those? You know, if there's 5 things, and if you want to make sure that you meet 4 of those. And so just make sure you on at least an 80% match for the position so that there's opportunity. And then for internal applications, you know, don't apply for every open position. You know, you trust me that you will get noticed and labeled a serial job seeker or serial job applicant, and you won't be taken seriously. When you apply for internal positions, it's usually matched to your internal HR management system, and that profile of yours is attached to every application that you submit, so they can see that you applied for, you know, 10 internal positions. And it's going to be like, what in the world? So you want to keep that list short by qualifying yourself and making sure that you're a good fit for these positions. Don't apply to more than 2 at a time. Okay, so apply to 1 good one and have one as a backup so that you don't get labeled a serial job applicant and they won't take you seriously. And then finally, the next thing is to bring your A game and consider that just because you're an internal candidate doesn't mean that you automatically get some advantage over other candidates. You'll often compete with external candidates and other internal candidates. And see, the cool thing about internal applications is that more likely than not, you get first dibs at applying for the job. And that's the advantage that you get as an internal applicant. It doesn't mean that you're going to knock out everybody because you already work for the company. It means that often, I've seen it and I've designed it in recruitment processes, often HR will advertise the position internally for a period of time first, maybe 5 days, maybe 10 days, maybe 30, right? So that internal candidates get the first shot at being seen by the recruiter for that position and they're not mixed into all these external job applications. And then once that process is over, that period is over, and let's say, you know, at the top 10, you know, the number one player for internal applicants is identified. Now, you, the number one player, have to compete with all the external folks because now that position is going to be posted on LinkedIn and Monster. So we're going to get a whole bunch of people. That means that you need to bring your A game. Take the process seriously because you're going to compete with other internals and externals. And then finally, consider the notice period to make sure that you meet those requirements for that position. At some companies, the notice period could be 90 days, meaning if you get a new position, you have to wait 90 days in order to transfer internally. And often internal timelines for notices are longer than external. The external can be 2 weeks to a month, right? Depending on the position. 2 weeks notice, I'm out. Internal positions, not so much, because they want to make sure that it's a smooth transition. And I'll talk a little bit about how to make that transition a little smoother for you and your manager in a little bit. But just make sure that you review company policies about how long, number one, is the notice period, and two, how long you have to be in your current position in order to move on to a new one. Some companies say 6 months, others say a year. Just make sure that you meet those requirements before you even apply, because you'd hate to say, I'm a good fit, I have the skill set, oops, I've only been in my position for 8 months and it requires a year. Now you've wasted your time and the manager and, you know, anybody involved in the application process. So just make sure that you look those things over long before. And then a side note to that is if you are on probation or some other type of disciplinary action, let's say you got written up for being late again, or you know, you had you missed a deadline again, so somebody wrote you up, and now you're mad about it and you want to move on to a different position, but you're on probation or disciplinary action for a period of time. Most companies say that you can't apply for a position if you're on probation or some type of disciplinary action. And probation could also include, you know, that probationary period of having a new job, you know, not the first 90 days. And this is why they say you have to be in your position for 6 months or a year. But just know that you have to be all clear of those things. You know, notice periods, probation, disciplinary action, tenure, meaning how long you've been in your position. Those all have to be clear before you apply for those positions. So, Anderson, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Holly. Sorry about that. We had a little muting issue and we had to unmute the phone. So, one of the things I did want to ask, which is probably a question on everyone's mind, where you know, things happen in everyone's career, and you may have gotten, say you may have had a challenge with a project or something that just was a good fit or didn't rub with your management or with the company's policies the right way, and your manager had to do some type of write-up. You've now passed a probationary period. At some point, does the existing hiring manager and your current manager, I'm sure they have to have some type of conversation. And, you know, does the hiring manager, does the existing manager bring up the fact, or does it come up that you've been on probationary period, or, you know, how does that work and how does that influence the hiring manager?
Well, I would say this. There are certain compliance rules and laws that apply. Now, job seekers wouldn't necessarily know these laws. So we think, you know, from a job seeker's perspective, if I'm on probation, my manager's going to tell the other manager, and that's why, you know, I'm not going to apply for the job because my manager's going to stop me. Well, the rules for federal compliance says that, number one, HR will stop it before it even gets to that point. HR reviews, and that's the recruiter. Right, recruiter sits in HR. They're going to look at your status, and if you're on probation, you can't even move forward to even talk to the manager. Okay, so that, and number two, often anything like that, as far as your profile, hiring managers don't necessarily have access to HR information for your profile. They may see the same thing that anybody else in the public in the company would see on your profile. Like, they wouldn't even see the background investigation results. Hiring managers see very little information that would influence their hiring decision beyond the facts. And the facts are, here's your resume, here are the job requirements, do they meet? I've interviewed you, I asked you this question, your answer was this, does it meet the requirements? Anything outside of that, personality, employment status, disability status, any of those things, whether you're sick, any of those things have no part in play into the hiring decision. And those things are only available in HR to the recruiter, to HR. Hiring managers will not see this information. Now, if your current manager shares that with the next manager and you find that out, I strongly suggest you talk to HR about that, because there's some compliance concerns there.
Okay. So to be clear, so you apply for a position, you just came up for probation, HR says, fine, you can do that. We're good because you're off for probation. You can apply for this position. When the two internal managers actually have a conversation, because generally one will talk to the other, you know, they can't have a conversation about performance or any of these other things, and that's not going to generally happen, I'm confused.
It will happen, but there's certain things they can and cannot say. Again,
got it.
HR departments are very, very cautious if they don't want to get sued, right? If they don't care about their risk of exposure to being sued, like a small business, they don't care about that. They're just going to willy-nilly and violate all the laws in place and say, yeah, she was late all the time. Yeah, she was on probation. I wouldn't hire her if my life depended on it, and tell it to the next manager. Well, that is a definite lawsuit for defamation of character, because just because of your performance in one position does not dictate your performance in another. That is the law.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And look it up, people. Do a Google search. Look it up on OFCCP compliance and ADA laws, right, and EEO laws. You can look up the law and around what people can say.
would a hiring manager actually have access to your previous performance reviews? Because sometimes a previous
hiring manager does not.
That, yeah.
Nope. Hiring manager does not. And if they do, and that's an HR policy, then hopefully HR has reviewed that with your lawyers and figured out how to make that legally compliant. The only person, the only department that should have access to your performance reviews is HR and your current hiring manager. Your next hiring manager does not need to have that as an influence for their hiring decision because, again, your performance in a previous position does not dictate your behavior in a current. Even if you got stellar marks, you were A-rated, got even, let's just flip it, you were A-rated, got stellar marks in your performance reviews, that doesn't mean you're going to be an A player in the next position. Does not. It's not an indicator of future performance. This is why hiring managers have to do a really good job of matching the skill sets, of asking those questions during the interview to determine if you can do the job. And that's the only thing that should dictate whether you move forward or not. Anything outside of that is subjective. And anybody in HR knows that that's a bad word, subjective requirements. We like objective requirements. Because these are based on facts, not someone's opinion, right? I could do a whole show about that. So I don't want to run out of time on this one, but for sure, just know that if you follow the process will help you move through and navigate it in and of itself. You skip steps, then you put yourself in a situation. Okay? That brings me to my next point about having an open and honest conversation with your current manager. Right, telling them that you're interested in a position. So I said I'd help you to give you an advantage on that. So have a contingency plan for when you leave your position. Tell them, you know, I'll support the new person or I'll help train for this period of time or I'll, you know, here's an action list and here's what I'll take up or, you know, whatever that contingency plan is going to be for between you leaving your position and getting to the current one and that supports the transition, that's going to help mitigate some of the anxiety around you leaving that current position for the manager. It'll help them in their hiring process and backfilling that position. And while this may not be your responsibility, it is the manager's responsibility to figure out transition. If you can help through that process by having a plan, you've now given yourself an advantage over your competitors because there's a plan. And you're going to help with that plan transitioning out of your current position into your new one. Okay, so that's my advice there. And then the third piece of advice that I give all my clients is your resume must be tailored to fit the position that you're applying for. Don't assume that you don't need a resume or that the hiring manager knows your experience and your accomplishments just because you've seen it in passing or you already work for the company. Many companies ask for resumes from internal candidates. And if you've been with a company for a long time, you know, chances are you haven't updated your resume since you started. Because people only update their resumes when they need them for a new job, and that's the wrong process to take, wrong approach to take to updating your resume. You should update your resume at least once a year, and if you're really doing what you're supposed to do, you update it every 3 months, once a quarter, adding a new skill set so that if you're asked for your resume at any given time, it's a process that's quick, fast, and in a hurry. And timing is the name of the game when it comes to applying for those positions. Just make sure that your resume is tailored to the position and invest in the time in doing this. Bring your A game. And then the other part is to, number four, this is what I advise my clients, is to not tell anyone that you are applying for an open position, not even your best friend, especially if you haven't told your manager. Now, why? Of course I can tell my best friend. Hold on. Not everyone at work is your friend. You may think they're your friend, but keep confidential information confidential. Often, managers won't reveal who is applying for a position, and they too have to maintain strict confidentiality to protect your privacy and the next person's privacy. So, telling your friends when it's not a sure thing is setting you up in case you don't get the job, setting you up for some anxiety. Right? And you don't know who they're going to tell. You hope that they won't. You'll trust them at their word. And they may even be upset that if you get the position and then you tell them that you didn't tell them from the beginning, and you know, eat that. But protect your confidentiality. It's better to say, my bad, I didn't tell you I was applying for this new job management position, but I got it. That's easier than, oh my God, I'm applying for this job, and then I didn't get it. And now you have to go through the emotions of that in front of an audience, which is the people that you told, and maybe the people that they told that aren't going to tell you that they already know. Trust and believe. If you tell one person one thing, expect it to get out. And if you don't want someone to know something, don't tell a soul. Okay? I wish I could share a story around this, but I don't have the time. But go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And if I may interject, also career survival skills come into play there, because, you know, the people that you tell that, hey, I'm applying for a position, may not have known that the position was unopen. Next thing you know, they've already applied for the position, haven't told you about it until they got the position. You know, so, you know, and I know it sounds like simple, small corporate politics, but Holly, you're absolutely right. You know, if you're applying for a position, the least amount of chatter, only the people that involve you, HR, your manager, those are the only people that should be aware of it, because, you know, you really don't want to start chatter around the office regarding, you know, what you're trying to do in your career.
Exactly. Confidentiality is key. And so that brings me to my fourth point, which I'll try to get to in the next 2 to 3 minutes. But the politics that are involved in applying for an open position, do not complicate the application process with politics. Now, I know there's opinions across the board about here's how you handle the politics of what's going on. And when I say politics, what do I mean? Things like you don't get along with your manager, so you may not want to tell them. So how do you get around that? Or the company's in the middle of a big merger or acquisition or some other crisis. So how do you get around saying, I want this position in HR when you got all the stuff going on around the merger, the acquisition? It's unsure. You don't know if they're going to lay off or if they're not. Okay. Also, let's say the hiring manager is really best friends with your manager. And you're like, and you don't get along with your manager. So now what? What do you do? Do I not tell this position, or there's just been a round of layoffs? So my advice here, don't play into the game. Follow company procedure when applying for an open position. It's when you deviate from this policy of notifying your manager, applying for the position, submit your resume, go through the interview process, align with HR. When you deviate from these processes or the processes that your company has set up, and if you accommodate any political, emotional, or social nuances, if you accommodate that by sidestepping the process, you could disqualify yourself. And then you'll blame it on the politics. Well, my manager didn't like me anyway, so that's why I didn't get the job. No, you didn't inform your manager before you applied. That's why you didn't get the job. Follow company policy, and don't turn the application process into a legal matter by skipping things. Okay? Everyone should avoid legal matters and disqualification. So contact HR on your application procedures for internal applications. Ask them what the procedure is. It's normally on your HR policies or on your intranet, and you can find out what you need to do. So we're almost at the end of the show. I want to thank everyone. Follow up on my blog where I'll put show notes and I'll put some of my ending thoughts in your task for the week. And follow me on social media, LinkedIn at Holly Bunn, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. It's going to be at Ms. Resume Help. Thank you so much, Anderson, for your time, and have a great rest of the Saturday, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.